Good afternoon. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. It's Friday, October 15th. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuadita Sun. Sitting in for Bill, who's having a great vacation along the Northern California coast with his wife, Anne. In fact, they're out there celebrating her birthday. Bill is here live weekdays at noon, or you can catch the live stream or access all the archives at buckmastershow.com. On Fridays, Bill gives a shout out to the Buckmaster Show media partners. That includes TucsonSentinel.com, and we're going to talk to the editor and publisher of that publication later on. Green Valley News, Sahuadita Sun, Tucson Local Media, Tucson Weekly, there's lots more. You'll find them all on his website. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Debbie Kenyon. She's president of the Green Valley Council, and Randy Graff. He's CEO and president of the Green Valley Sahuadita Chamber of Commerce. If you have a question or comment, call us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Debbie Kenyon and Randy Graff, it's great to have you.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Good to be here today.
Very good. We've got a lot to cover, but Debbie, the first thing we need to do is to explain to people why Green Valley has a council when it's unincorporated. No mayor, no city council, no town council. The first layer of government is Pima County. So what's the Green Valley Council, and what is its relationship with Pima County?
The Green Valley Council is a membership organization, and our members are are 80 of the 107 homeowners associations in Green Valley. So the council was formed originally as the Green Valley Community Council 49 years ago now. And it was simply to represent and give the citizens representation through their HOAs. So each HOA member has an elected representative from their board who serves on the Board of Representatives of the council. And the council facilitates information and support services through the various standing committees that we have, through our executive committee board, through myself, and through our executive director. So we have direct contact and correlation with specific departments in Pima County that we interface with. So monthly we have meetings with them. Information flow comes back and forth. The county expresses to us any needs that they have, informational needs. We had some specific COVID needs that we addressed much earlier this year, but that's basically what the relationship is. We have a contract with Pima County.
Right, and I was going to get to that. I used to tell people that the GVC has no authority but a ton of influence.
Exactly. But that's exactly right.
And about 5 years ago, though, because of things that were going on in Green Valley and the GVC's budget and the importance of the organization, Pima County stepped in, and now they are funding you to about half of your budget?
No, it's not quite half of our budget. The membership, it's probably 37% to 40% of our budget. The rest is from our membership dues, association dues. It's $12 a rooftop, basically, for an HOA to belong. And then we have some service contracts that we promote.
But you still operate on behalf of the entire community.
Absolutely, we do. Everything that we do, we have certain perks for our members. We provide certain free services for our members, notary, copying services, some minor things. But anybody can walk into our office with a question or concern, and we make sure that it gets to appropriate people at Pima County.
And as I recall, the current contribution by Pima County now is it 87.5?
87.5.
Okay, what do they get for that?
For that, they get the representation down in the community from our eight standing committees, I'm sorry. And one of the biggest reasons for the increase was now we have 5,000 acres of community park, and we started out 4 years ago with a park advisory committee to persuade the county that we needed an additional park, which actually was Randy's former golf course. And the county took the donation of the park, and we have worked closely with them through the former Park Advisory Committee and the development of that. And that committee interfaced with the neighboring HOAs, the 11 or so HOAs that surrounded that piece of property. Well, that now, because of the county had come to us and asked if we would form a Friends of the Canoa Parks and incorporate all three parks in, that the Park Advisory Committee morphed into the Parks Advisory Committee. So for some, the additional support that we're giving them and the additional support that they asked us from the Health and Human Services Committee in identifying some underserved population, inbound population, that they would increase that that contract.
I don't think we can overstate the influence the GVC has in this community. You mentioned eight committees. Health and Human Services is among them, Traffic and Arroyos, as you mentioned, Parks, Environmental. So we deal with the mines. We deal with, you were called on, as you mentioned earlier, during COVID to help the county figure out a few things about our community. What exactly did they want out of you?
They wanted to address potential homebound people, and basically Green Valley is a captive audience. You know, better than 90% of our community are retirees, and the average age, I still think, is around 72.
72.
Sure. So the county wanted our input on how they could connect with a homebound population. And we gave them that information. We leveraged some of our community partners, the fire district, you know, the partnership with Chief Wonder and then Commander Kenyon. They have a telecare program that we were able to tap into and provide considerable insight to Pima County.
And it was, I remember last winter being on the phone with you several times as the word of the vaccinations was getting out and people were very eager to get those and arranging for sites down there. We held a town hall that was very, very well attended. And and the whole point was just answer their questions. And so you guys were very instrumental in helping set up those things and really kind of just lowering the tension level in the community.
Exactly, Dan. Exactly. I think that was a concerted effort, you know, and my thanks to the newspaper and our local radio stations. You know, they kept a calm composure in a very difficult time.
Right. Randy, I want to stay on the COVID theme, and you have been, you know, with the chamber through this mess. And how have businesses fared locally down where we are?
Overall, I think the businesses in Green Valley and Sarita probably fared as well or better than many communities, better than probably Tucson and the Phoenix areas. As far as chamber membership, we've got about 400 business members of the chamber. We lost very few of them as far as closing down to COVID. Obviously, it was difficult early on, but once the federal government stepped up with the Paycheck Protection Program, it certainly allowed a lot of the businesses to access some funds.
Absolutely.
To keep themselves afloat, keep their employees on board. But currently, it's still an issue. I mean, a lot of our businesses are still looking for employees, and it's not just industry specific. It's
absolutely
it's virtually across the board. So there's still some challenges out there as we come out of this. But all in all, many of our members had their business models worked very well, and they actually did as well in 2019 and 2020 as they did or before the COVID hit. So. You know, it wasn't that people weren't spending money. They were spending it differently.
Exactly
they
right.
They weren't going on trips and whatnot. They were spending it fixing up their house, taking care of their vehicles, and keeping it close to home.
Yeah, and some of our business owners had to get a little innovative. Before we head off to the break, we have got a question. We have Paul on the line. He has a question about sales tax in Green Valley. Paul, you there?
Yeah, it is. We live in the county, not in Green Valley, but my wife has... Well, it does not shop in the city of Tucson anymore. She just had too much trouble. And she wants to know if our next new car can be bought in Green Valley with only the 6% sales tax.
Well, the one car dealership that I'm aware of is Jim Click Ford. They are on the north side of Duval Road, which puts them actually within the town of Sarita. So while you may not be paying a sales tax into the city of Tucson, you will be paying the sales tax into the town of Sarita. So it would be the same, I think the same level, 8.1% or whatever.
Okay, very good. And thank you, Paul, for that phone call. We are going to be right back. We're with Debbie Kenyon, president of the Green Valley Council, Randy Graff, CEO and president of the Green Valley Sarita Chamber of Commerce in our Friday Focus interview. And just before our break, Bill likes to talk about one of his favorite places, talk about businesses. That's Mona's Danish Bakery, the place everybody's talking about. I know certainly around here, Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery, open for breakfast, lunch, indoor and patio dining, plus online orders and pickups are welcome. Mona's, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Feel free to give us a call on that. We are with Debbie Kenyon. She's president of the Green Valley Council. Randy Graff, CEO and president of Green Valley and Sahuarita Chamber of Commerce. Randy, we were talking a little bit off air, and we're actually working a story on it. We know that there have been supply chain issues throughout the country. We have a shortage of truckers. We have a lot of ships out there, the container ships that are waiting to offload products, and we're starting to see the shortages in various ways in our own community. What are you hearing from the business community, particularly about how it might affect Christmas shopping and items that might be available?
Haven't heard a great deal of concern as of yet, but I don't see things getting better before they get worse. I mean, we've all been experiencing, obviously, some shortages on the shelves at some of the local retailers, the grocery stores and Walmart and that kind of thing. I have heard from some of our members that they've had trouble getting packaging to put their materials in and things like
sure.
that over the last few months. But, knock on wood, we've been pretty fortunate to this point in time, but it is something we're going to start talking to our members about. The big thing has been employees. Everybody's looking for employees. So, you know, part of the whole COVID issue and now the supply chain issue is going to be something that I'm sure is going to probably get worse before it gets better. So I think everybody is trying to start planning for particularly the holiday shopping season.
And are we seeing the employee shortages in certain sectors?
It seems to be across the board. Virtually everybody's got a help wanted sign up. Full time, and unfortunately, what we're hearing is they're getting a lot of people might put in applications. A small percentage of them show up for an interview. Few are given an employment opportunity, and if they show up, they might work a day or two. So that has been the real challenge. Is there hasn't been a consistency and nothing that the employers can really trust on people coming back. And really, at this stage in the game here in Arizona, with the federal unemployment stuff. Payments being taken away a number of months ago.
Right.
It's still sort of surprising that folks aren't really ready to come back to work full time.
Okay. And Debbie, I want to bring up a real touchy subject. And Green Valley has gone through this four times before. I was not here in the last one. You were not here in the last one. But it's that whole battle for incorporation. Should we become the town or the city of Green Valley? And it always tends to be bloody. I know, Randy, you've been through this a couple
yes.
of times and definitely very strong opinions on both sides. The option, besides just leaving things as they are, is that the town of Sahuarita is going to come in and start annexing, which we've already seen. They just got La Posada a couple years ago, and they're eyeing a couple of other things. Are you hearing anything right now in Green Valley about the possibility of pushing for incorporation?
I have not, no. A couple of isolated calls from people who, well, maybe we should just incorporate. But they are, at this point, Dan, random. I have not heard of any movement or any push. It is not on my radar as president at this point of having to address anything for it. No.
Not anything you guys are discussing or would
consider? Well, we are discussing it. We are looking at it as we are looking toward the Futures Committee mm-hmm. and reestablishing the next plan for the community plan. So, you know, as we're moving forward to get that committee established, and that is something that will probably happen sometime next year, that will certainly be something that, you know, they will have to look at.
What about the annexation? Does it bother you that the town of Sahuarita has come in and grabbed La Posada, which is really a gem, quite honestly?
Well, it is a gem, but on the other hand, we have an affiliate member in Quail Creek. They are a member of the Green Valley Council.
Right.
And one of the reasons that they are is because we can speak to them as retired residents. And that's one of the things that the council can do. I think we have to look at, and one of the things that any Futures Committee will be looking at is the different cultures of Sahuarita and Green Valley. Sahuarita is a dynamic, young, moving community, but it is very different than a community of retired persons. And so, and that dynamic has to be taken into consideration for anything that we look at toward the future, if they were to talk about annexing, how that could be meshed.
Randy, the communities are very different, yet they are intertwined, particularly when it comes to shopping. We have a couple of shopping districts that people cross the line freely, and even though there is that 2% sales tax in the town of Sahuarita that you're going to be paying, in many of the restaurants, et cetera.
I mean, the growth in the community is going to be in the town of Sarita over
it
over
already
the
is.
Long
we've,
period
we've
of time.
We've seen it.
There's no question. And I mean, for Sarita to come down and annex the rest of Green Valley, there's really nothing in it for them. I mean, typically they would want to annex areas that might have shopping centers
sure.
or whatnot that would bring a tax revenue base in. So they already get the tax base and the revenue from people that shop within the town of Sarita. So to take on a population of 25,000 or 30,000 people with, it would just be an additional cost to them to maintain. The incorporation issue, I've been in Green Valley since 84. We've seen it come and go a couple times.
Sure.
They'd get some state shared revenues. They wouldn't need a Parks and Rec department with Green Valley Recreation. When I was in the legislature, we looked at a possible retirement type incorporation where there'd be some sort of restrictions on what they could do and still take advantage of some of the state shared revenues. But I don't see Green Valley most likely incorporating.
And I think for a lot of people, it's why would we want to go in and grab, and I live in Sahuarita, why would you want to go in and grab Green Valley when, let's be honest here, Pima County hasn't done a great job with the roads there. You would be inheriting that. Probably a lot of aging infrastructure. But as you point out, there are a couple of big shopping districts that might be nice to have. And so could they come over and grab some of those? So, or are they even not even interested? But we know that Sahuarita is not landlocked, but it's close. It can go east, but it really can't go any other direction for lots of reasons. So it'll be an interesting thing to watch to see if anything even happens. But they certainly are moving ahead there. But different communities, but they really rely on each other.
They do. They blended in.
Yeah.
We were the Green Valley Chamber of Commerce originally, and then a few years after Sarita Incorporated, we became the Green Valley Sarita Chamber of Commerce. So, like I said, we've got about 400 members, the vast majority of them, in the Green Valley and Sarita area. Some from Tucson, all the way down to Nogales and Sierra Vista, but the communities work well together, and we've got a great relationship at the chamber with the town of Sarita.
Debbie, did these numbers surprise you, the census numbers for both communities just coming out from 2020, Sahuarita up 35%, Green Valley up 5.7%, Arizona, just as a base here, is up about 12%. Of course, most of that's going to be in the Phoenix area. The Sahuarita, this is the second census in a row that the numbers are just kind of blowing us out of the water. Yeah, I mean, what do these tell us, if anything?
Well, they tell us, one, that I think they have a dynamic mayor and council mm-hmm. who are encouraging people to come down, and they are providing services for them. I take my hat off. I think they are doing an excellent job. They have a dynamic recreation program. They're good neighbors. Sahuarita is, they're an excellent neighbor, and we have a very nice working relationship with them.
Randy, what do those numbers say to you?
Well, the town of Sarita, they don't have much of an industry per se. A lot of it is a bedroom community. A lot of the people that are moving in there work at Raytheon or on the south end of Tucson or with the military. And so from Sarita to get to those facilities, you can be there quicker than if you lived in Tucson or Marana or any place else. So, and then obviously folks that work down at the border with Border Patrol and whatnot, Sarita's as far north as those folks. So I see them continue to grow, but as they grow, they'll probably be moving to the east or state trust land. I think at some point they'll have to go into and develop an industry of their own and reasons for kids graduating from high school to stay in the community and work in the community and develop new businesses. And so they're one of the fastest growing communities in the state of Arizona, and I don't see that ending anytime soon. They got a lot of construction permits out as we speak. For new home construction. So.
Well, there was also a curveball thrown at us about a month ago in the form of Hud Bay Minerals, which is they are developing the Rosemont mine on the other side of the mountain, which didn't bother people nearly as much as now the Copper World project on our side of the mountain, which potentially could have 7 open pit copper mines in our area within 10 years. Not all 7 of them, of course, but they could start on this. The closest mine is about 8 miles from Quail Creek. I know you, Randy. This doesn't bother you.
It's not a curveball.
No. But for some people, it could be. You're going to be able to see this from homes. Quail Creek, quite honestly, it's an upper crust community. And it's, although I'll be honest, I'm not hearing anything out of there yet.
This is all on private land and
sure.
perhaps some state land. So they are going through the process. They've discovered, you know, when the Rosemont project on the east side that would not have been visible from Green Valley or Sarita was halted by the courts again folks that are opposed to the mine have been challenging that from the get-go. They've been in the process for 14 years trying to get that mine processed and open. When Rosemont, the original Rosemont company, purchased all that property, it included a lot of patented mining claims on this side of the mountain or the mountain range. And I don't think they were ever planning on at this stage in the game looking at that. But with the other mine being shut down, the price of copper going up, and I saw this morning it was up to 400. Or 470.
It's doing very well.
Just doing very, very well. So it gave them the resources to do some exploration. I think they were surprised by what they found. So it doesn't surprise me that they're going forward and starting to talk to the state about what kind of permits would be needed. It would be a less cumbersome permitting process than on the other side where they had to deal with the federal government and the National Forest Service. So, to the extent that they can move forward with it, I'm sure they're laying out all their preliminary plans and just dotting the I's and crossing the T's and trying to be ready.
The big concern is going to be water.
Water has always been an issue out here. I mean, they've got permits for the current for the Rosemont project, and they've got permits for water over near the Quail Creek area. I think they had permits for up to 5,000 acre feet of water. The one nice thing they've done is working with Community Water Company to build and extend the CAP pipeline and recharge as much more water than what they're taking out of the ground. So they would be a net zero water user on the Rosemont project. I'm not sure how that would fit in with this new project, but they were planning on building a pipeline from near Quail Creek across the valley up over the top of the mountain to provide water for the Rosemont project. So does it make sense that this would connect to this new project? Most likely. And who knows what the what the water needs will be for these projects.
Well, it's mining country.
It is.
It's mining country. And what's interesting, I found during this whole Rosemont thing, being someone who was new down here 13 years ago when Rosemont just got underway, was, wait a minute, you people are concerned about this thing over the mountain when, you know, 20 feet behind you, almost literally, you right. have these tailings that are hundreds of feet, tall. But, of course, those were there first. Those mines were there before Green Valley was.
And then one of the things with the Rosemont project is that would be they would get a copper concentrate that would have to be shipped overseas to be smelted to bring the copper back. From what I understand, these projects have some of the oxide ores that can be processed right here, turned into pure copper on site, and not have to ship it overseas and that type of thing. So it'd be interesting to see how this project goes forward, but
if that happens, that would be a huge game changer. I spoke to Hudbay about that very thing. It's very preliminary. They don't know if they can do it yet, but we'll see if they do. So, Debbie, I want to throw one more question at you before we say goodbye here. Vision for the future. How do you come up with one in an unincorporated community? I always tell people that Green Valley has no mayor, but it has five mayors, and everyone thinks they're the mayor. And so how are we coming up with one plan for the future, one vision, and then carrying it forward? Who's kind of doing that?
As we are moving forward, the council will take probably the point position, most likely, on that because of our interface with Pima County. But one of the things that, since I have been on board, is reestablishing the community partnerships with the key players.
Right.
We have a dynamic partnership with the fire district. We have a dynamic partnership with Pima County Sheriff's Department, the Green Valley Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers, the Chamber again. So what will happen as we move forward and determine our direction is pull those players in and get the input from the people who have the pulse, all the pulses of the community.
Very good.
And pull some key volunteers who want to come in and be a part of it.
Very good. Okay, our thanks to Debbie Kenyon. She is president of the Green Valley Council, and Randy Graff, CEO and president of the Green Valley Sahuarita Chamber of Commerce. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village studio. You are always invited to join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And when we return, we will launch into the Friday roundtable with Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is time for our Friday roundtable. We have Dylan Smith, editor of TucsonSentinel.com, on the line. Dylan, how are you doing?
Pretty good. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Hey, we have some new news this morning. Looks like three universities are going to require vaccinations on campus, and I know you are working on that story as we speak. Tell us what's going on.
Well, basically, three universities here in Arizona, the state universities, but it's going to be a pretty widespread vaccine mandate. This is based off of the Biden administration's order by the Safer Federal Workforce Task Force. A lot of force in there. And there's a little bit of force behind this. You know, go get your shot or lose your job. Any business agency that is a federal contractor needs to have their employees fully vaccinated by December 8th. That's the word. And, of course, that applies to the University of Arizona and ASU and NAU as well. They all have lots and lots of federal contracts and thus are being required to go have everybody get their shots. unlike some of the other measures we've seen, this is not really a testing mandate with a vaccine opt-out where you can, you know, go get tested once or twice a week and not get your shots. This is an actual vaccine mandate. There are some accommodations for people with, genuine religious concerns, or if they have a disability, if they can't be vaccinated for a medical reason, they can request an accommodation. But if everybody else is going to be required to be fully vaccinated by December 8th.
So no shot, no job.
That's pretty much what it's coming down to. There's a tiny bit of leeway, but they're being very serious about it. President Robbins at the U of A sent out an email to everybody who works at the university. The Arizona Board of Regents sent out an email backing this up for all three of the state universities. So it's, not going to be something that would be taken lightly.
And where do students stand right now?
Most students are not employees, so they're still kind of in the, gray area. Certainly the university is trying to encourage as many students as they can to go be vaccinated. The uptake on that, the number of students who have gotten their shots is a whole lot better this year than it was, say last spring over the summer, a whole lot more have. But there's still a little bit of concern there. And one other thing I should mention on that is that in places where there is high community spread of COVID, as there still is in Pima County and in so many places across the country, this also includes a mandate that employees must wear masks when they are indoors.
Okay, very interesting. And Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. You guys have a story online right now. Ron Barber, former representative from this area, he wants the January 8th memorial in Tucson to get some national status. And we know very well that Ron Barber was injured in that shooting in 2011. Tell us about the memorial and why would it matter if they got national status?
Yeah, the January 8th memorial, kind of referred to lowercase, it's called the Embrace. It's downtown in the park behind the historic Pima County Courthouse and is now open to the public. People can go check it out. It took a number of years to get put together and then quietly opened in the middle of the pandemic last winter. But Ron Barber and testified to a House committee yesterday in support of a bill that was introduced by Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick that would add the January 8th memorial to the list of national memorials that are overseen by the Park Service. And that would, pardon the pun, put it on the map nationally.
Sure.
As
sure.
Far as an important site that is, worthy of, federal care and people knowing that it's there.
And as I recall, there are probably just under 100 of those national memorials right now, and this just would be added to the list. Any sense of whether they're going to be successful with this?
Well, who's going to be the person who's going to stand up and say, no, don't do this? In the Congress.
There you go.
Yeah, would you be the most popular person around if you were trying to fight this? It seems fairly likely to be approved in my assessment. But then, of course, there's a reason I'm not an elective office.
Yeah, there you go. We did a package of stories on Wednesday on opioid cases in and around Pima County, and we try to avoid the term crisis because I think it's overused. But let me throw some numbers and quotes at you. We were talking to Mark Person. He's manager of Pima County's Community Mental Health and Addiction Program, and he said that if the deaths from opioids continue on a pace that they have the first 9 months of this year, it is highly likely that we're going to set a record for ever since the numbers have been rising for the past 3 years. So to put that in perspective, so far we've had 333 deaths from opioids in this county this year through September 30th, and 8 in my area down in Sarita Green Valley. But he fears that 2021 could reach 550. And so until about 3 years ago, those countywide numbers were in the 250, 275 range. And then they started spiking in 2019, and which, remember, that was pre-COVID, but then 446 last year, he said. So these are high numbers. And we talked to a couple of recovering addicts, I'll say that for lack of a better term, and just the mm-hmm. battle to go through this is absolutely difficult and stunning to see that they've overcome it. And they are. They're well on their way. But these are really rough numbers.
Indeed. And we're seeing these numbers despite so many cops and deputies and, ordinary concerned people having Narcan on yes. them that can, really almost, bring people back to life if they are ODing right in front of your eyes. It's amazing stuff and, should be around to give people that chance. But in speaking with a lot of narcotics officers, a whole lot of this is due to narcotics, opioids that are out on the street not being as safe as they used to be. So much stuff is, cut mm-hmm. with fentanyl,
yes.
which is so much stronger and more dangerous. And you can think you're taking, one kind of pill, and it's, a counterfeit pill that's got some fentanyl and a bunch of garbage in it, and, have it completely overwhelm you. And for folks who are addicted and stuck in that cycle, they've had a really tough time being able to get the stuff that they are used to taking over the last several years. It's not available, or if it is, it's priced way out of what they can handle. So the garbage that they're buying on the street is very deadly.
And Narcan, we go into that in this package of stories and tons of stats in there also. And, who do you give it to? Do you give it to mom and dad? Do you give it to people in communities that are harder hit by this? Obviously, the law enforcement needs to have it. But real important questions there. And then, as you pointed out, this garbage on the street is a lot stronger than it used to be. And fentanyl is in a lot of it, and it's bringing a lot of people down. They don't know what they're taking, and it's very, mm-hmm. very dangerous, and that's why we're losing people. And so if you look at the stats, it's trending younger. The people who are dying are younger, and they oftentimes are the people most likely to be experimenting with this or addicted. So that's quite an interesting thing. We have a pill drop-off event going on. So if you look at gbnews.com, you can see that. And this is where you just take all the stuff out of your medicine cabinet, and it's either expired or you don't know what it is, or you pills in the house or whatever. This is where you drop them off. We have one of those events. And the last one they had down in our area got more pills, I believe, in that one time than the entire state of Arizona had in its last push.
Great.
And so it is
good for people to go drop stuff off so it can be disposed of properly. You don't
absolutely.
Want to flush it down the toilet. You don't want to throw it in the trash.
No, do not. We don't need it in the water. Do not flush it. And I know it's the easiest way to do it. So we got about a minute and a half here, but I wanted to throw out one more story that I just posted this morning, actually, about 79%. And I think you've seen these numbers. 79% of Pima County employees have now been vaccinated against COVID-19. There are 12 county departments that are reporting vaccination rates 95 or above, but the sheriff's department, which includes the county jail, the county jail has about 57%, and that's concerning because they are dealing with people who really can't up and leave. And so Pima County is working on that rate, but they call this surprising, this 57% number. This is Chuck Huckleberry, the county administrator, given that we've had so many law enforcement officers die of the virus since January of 2020. So 420.
It's been the leading cause
yes.
of death.
Exactly right.
For police officers, correction officers, sheriff's deputies across the country over the last 2 years. It's not car accidents.
Right.
It's not gunshots. It's COVID-19 is killing cops.
Exactly. And those numbers are 420 have died from the virus since January 2020 compared to 92 officers who have died from gunfire, which is the second leading cause of death. Okay, that is going to wrap up our Friday roundtable. Thank you, Dylan. I appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. What we should mention real quick one more thing. You had that piece a few months back, and it needs to be brought back up again, that pretty soon folks are going to have to dial all 10 digits if they want to make a local phone call here.
Absolutely. And no matter what, if you're calling your neighbor, if you're calling across the city, you're going to have to dial 10 digits, and we will keep hitting away at that. But that is very important to know. Thank you for that reminder. That's Dylan Smith. You can follow all of his good work at TucsonSentinel.com. We're going to be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio with Dan Gibson. He's going to help you plan your weekend. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the professionals over at Rincon Venture Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
And it is time for Weekend Watch. It's a great way to plan your next couple of days. Presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. A lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. It's a great place. Been through there many times. On the line, we have certainly not the B team. Dan Gibson, how are you doing?
It's still my segment. I stand by that. Matt's an interloper in my space. It's my segment. It's Weekend Watch with Dan Gibson, occasionally Matt Russell.
When I'm here,
I'm dedicated. I'm here, man. I'm in Tucson right now. I'm not off gallivanting off in Washington, D.C.
That man is off and out and about so much.
Yeah, I'm not important enough to go anywhere. I'm here.
Well, I appreciate that. From now on, even when he's on, I'm going to use your name.
That's, I appreciate that. Good, the good. Branding is important to me.
And he'll like that too. So we have 2 days to kill here. What do you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can kick out early too if you want. I think you're probably done. The Wicks won't mind. It'll be
no,
fine.
No.
Okay. we've got Sunday from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. If you're a person who enjoys blues, the music, the blues, barbecue, and also Zinfandels, may I recommend the Zin Blues and Barbecue event at Hacienda del Sol Guest Ranch Resort. It's happening Sunday. It's a mouthwatering gourmet barbecue menu, live music by Paul Green and Midnight Blue, and over 24 varieties of Zinfandel wine from local distributors. Also, I mean, if wine isn't your thing, they will also have a brewery there. You can purchase the wine that you enjoy. There's going to be a pit-roasted suckling pig, so in a crawfish boil. So, I mean, it's all of the things. If you don't want to drink, they also have a ticket for you there. It's $85 with the alcohol. That includes the food and a souvenir wine glass. So.
And you threw that in because you know I don't drink, but I like to eat.
Yeah, right, exactly. And also you enjoy the blues. You're a man in touch with your emotions.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
On the days that I have any. So, okay, what else we got going?
Big fans of the people over at Hotel McCoy. They're celebrating their third anniversary on Saturday from 4 to 9 p.m. So they're having a mural fest, which will be live mural painting. And you also can participate in the paint-by-number community mural. DJ there. There'll be food from Black Market Barbecue, which is actually one of my favorite barbecue trucks in town. It is free and all ages. The only catch is that because they have limited parking, on-site parking is for guests only. So park somewhere else and take a lift in or get a bike or, I don't know, figure it out yourself. It's not my problem. But
you know, maybe you are the B team. Okay.
Yeah, right. No, it's simple enough. Find a place to park, head over there. It'll be a great time.
And is it my imagination or are food trucks just doing booming business? We're seeing more and more down in our area and people love them because they're outside. They're something different. They're reasonably priced and they're great people.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a nice, what you hope is that the, you know, people use it like a SACE and cereal grillers and like, it's an opportunity to sort of ramp up in a safe way, introducing people to the food you make and then maybe open a brick and mortar space. Black Top Bar Grill did that as well. So, you know, I mean, it mixes it up a little bit. Curry Pot around town has Sri Lankan food. I don't think anywhere else in town has Sri Lankan food, so it's a nice opportunity to experience something in a sort of safe and fun environment.
We actually have one down in Sawarita that I believe, because I haven't visited yet, but I'm hearing it's Cambodian food.
Oh, nice. Let me know.
Who knew? Absolutely.
It'll be a Dan and Dan reunion eating Cambodian food.
There we go, because, you know, after today, we're going to both be out of a job. So that's that's okay.
I believe in you. You won some of those Arizona newspaper awards, I'm sure, right? And you take some of those home? I think when you win one, you get to stay employed for a year.
No. When you win one, all it means is that you know how your obit's going to be written. Award-winning journalist Dan Scheer, you know, et cetera. Yeah, that's all you know on those things. So, okay, give us one more.
If you enjoy ice cream and hard alcohol cider, which a lot of people seem to,
wow.
Hub Ice Cream is having a collaboration with Bocker Cider pairings this Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. at Bocker Cider, which is on 4th Avenue. It's a $25 flight, which includes 3 of their cider pours and 3 scoops of Hub Ice Cream. It'll be a ginger pear cider with a pear Riesling sorbet, an orange cream cider with vanilla ice cream, and a spicy Sassy Pants cider. I don't know what that means, but it sounds intriguing, with a mango passion fruit sorbet. You can buy your tickets online at bockerbocker.com.
You're going to have to spell that.
B-A-W-K-E-R, and then you repeat it,
yeah.
And then .com.
Okay, very good. Dan, I really appreciate you helping us get a handle on our weekend. Our thanks to Dan Gibson. He is with Visit Tucson. They do great work over there, and everyone's getting excited because things seem to be opening up. Thanks a lot, Dan.
No problem. My pleasure.
Great. The Buckmaster Radio Program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to longtime Buckmaster assistant Rosemary Brandt, the producers and engineers John and Tom, and we had Ray behind the glass today, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. You have yourself a great weekend.